This message is brought to you by Trinity Community Church in Cary, North Carolina, where we love God, love others, and make disciples of Jesus. For more information, check out www.tritrinity.org. Thanks for listening.
In my early 20s, I was living and working in Yosemite National Park. I was a lobby porter at the Ahwahnee Hotel. There are three hotels in Yosemite, and the Ahwahnee is the nicest, the most expensive at least. And basically a lobby porter is a janitor. One day we kind of got the word. The Queen of England might be coming. A couple days later, we got the memo. The Queen of England is coming to the Ahwahnee. And from that moment on, everything changed. The entire hotel vacant for 3 days. A day before she came, till she was long gone, nobody but the Queen and her entourage in the hotel. If you had a reservation, too bad. The Queen's coming. They didn't need all those employees, so they checked through us all to get a skeleton crew of people who could take care of the hotel. And I was fortunate to be part of that. I got to keep my job while the Queen was there. Place was clean like never saw it before. She was staying in the sixth floor, the entire sixth floor. That place was completely redone, everything, with a microscope. And then finally she came. And you know what the big deal was? She didn't like our towels. This was a big problem. In Yosemite, there's not a lot of options. But we put in velour towels, thinking that they were classy. The Queen does not like velour, just if you want to know. So, memo came down. We got the newest, best-looking set of towels, shot them up to the Queen. Everything was fine. And yes, I did get to see her. I got to stand. On the way out, she walked about there. I got to see the Queen. She never looked at me, didn't smile at me. She walked right out, went back to England. I think about this story nearly every Advent. What we did for that woman to get ready. And what do the Gospels tell us about when Christ came to us? It tells a very different story. Last week we finished with the question, anybody remember?
Where are you?
Good job. Great question. Astonishing question. Adam and Eve sin. They're hiding from each other. They're hiding from God. God comes to them and asks them, where are you? We were not interested in God. We were not seeking God. We wanted nothing to do with God in the state of our sin. But God sought, loved, and said to us, where are you? God seeks us. And like so much of Genesis 1, 2, and 3, every sentence is a theme. I mean, it's all just packed with truth because God continues to be the seeker. All through the Old Testament. And then you turn the page to the New Testament. John the Baptist is in the desert. And after 500 years of silence from God. Can you imagine that long? That's twice as long as the age of our country. No prophets. No word. Just quiet. Then John the Baptist says, get ready. Prepare the way for the Lord. He's coming. Two events in history stand out like sore thumbs. Creation. Without creation, there's nothing. We're not here. God had to create. And incarnation. Everything depends on those two things. Everything. Because what we dare to believe is that the Creator became human. Did we ask him to do that? No. Did we want him to do that? No. Did he do that? Yes. We are Christians, followers of Christ. So, who is this? What is he like? What does this mean? Let's take a look at Christ's example. What was the incarnation? And why did he do it? Why does it matter? Paul's talking to the church in Philippi. And in chapter 2, verse 5, he says this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, have Christ's attitude among you. Well, what was Christ's attitude? Who, though he was in the form of God, or was God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, slave, being born in the likeness of man. You can get lost in the minutiae of the incarnation. And we're not going to do that. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus is one person with two natures. He is fully God and fully man. In one person. He's not split. He doesn't have a human body and a divine soul. He is fully human, fully divine, fully God in one person. And to get that, he couldn't have all the glory of God. He had to be in a body. he had to say, no, I don't need this. Even though it's mine. He emptied. I love this. He just let it go. One of the translations says, he did not think it robbery. He didn't think somebody was taking anything from him. This is the character of God. God doesn't have to be God. He can let that go. So much so that he became a man. So you're God, okay? Just, I know it's kind of weird. Think with me. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. And she became pregnant. So, God became cellular in the virgin womb of Mary. You inhabit heaven and earth. You created all things. And in the next moment, you're a few cells in a virgin's womb. You can't imagine that. It's not possible. That kind of humility, that kind of sacrifice is wholly alien to us. But in God, it was an easy thing to do. Jesus did that without kicking and screaming, without complaining, to become a human. The Creator became the created. Now think back with me about what we did for the Queen. And you know, the problem with the incarnation is Christmas. We have Christmas festivals, and kids are so cute when they dress up like lambs. You know, they're just so cute. Our kids were cute. They dressed up like lambs. They were adorable. And the shepherds, you know, they're out on the fields. It's romantic. And, you know, the angels sing. But when you read the Gospels, the incarnation is so understated. Angels sing because people did not. Were we singing there? Were we happy about this? The shepherds heard. What about the kings? Important people. The Queen got a whole hotel. Christ got a stable. Wise men had to come from the East to worship Christ. Nobody from Jerusalem did that. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels, the only person to seek Christ was Herod. Do you know why he sought him? He wanted to kill him. He was very interested in Christ because he knew Christ was different and therefore powerful. And he wanted to kill him. You will never find in the incarnation the adjective Mary, as in Merry Christmas. It's sad. There's joy because God's getting ready to do something. But it's a wretched failure on our behalf. To say we dropped the ball is an understatement. But the incarnation doesn't stop here. Philippians goes on. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Unimaginable. Makes no sense at all. You can sort of imagine that maybe God would come to earth as God, maybe in a lightning storm or fire, and tell us the truth. Maybe. But for God to become like us, live with us, teach us, and then die for us. This is alien love. It's nothing like what we have. The love of God in Christ is unimaginable. That he would empty himself to the point of death. I love the meme. It's from somewhere in the studio of The Passion of Christ. Mel Gibson is on a chair, just normal guy, and he's sitting next to Jim Caviezel, who I guess is shooting the final scenes, and he's just drenched in blood, cut, face, you know, just, he looks horrible. And Mel Gibson's just chatting with him, and the caption says, "Me telling Jesus about my problems." But the thing is, he listens. What is that? You know, for people who are angry at God, or who find him indifferent or cold, you can't approach the incarnation and keep that. It is not possible. Let's put that to the test, shall we? Well, I'm mad at God because I don't have enough to eat. I'm hungry. I should have food. Do you know how long Christ didn't have food? 40 days and 40 nights. He knows exactly how you feel. Exactly. Okay. Well, we live in a society where everybody thinks about sex all the time. I lead a sexually unfulfilling life. It's not fair. Why does God make me do that? Christ was single. He knows more about that than you do. Lived his whole life that way. Well, I don't have friends. Why doesn't God give me friends? So when push comes to shove, did any of the disciples stay? You know, we remember Peter. But they all left. They all walked away. And the ladies here get to shine. They get closer to the cross than anyone else. But he's alone. He was alone at Gethsemane. They couldn't even stay up to pray with him. And think of this, just for 3 hours, Christ lost contact with God the Father. That kind of loneliness we will never experience. Where this is, it's hard, the Trinity, it's confusing, but stay with the emotion of this, okay? Christ said, "Why have you forsaken me? Why am I here alone?" From a member of the Trinity who for eternity shared glorious love with the Father and Spirit. For 3 hours, Christ experienced something no one ever will experience. This is such a gift to us because people don't understand us, do they? They don't. They try. The best do. And those who love us do actually quite well. But it's never complete. But it is with Christ. He knows you. He knows what it is to be human. Now, I want to turn a corner and talk about our imitation. If we are followers of Christ, what does that mean for us? In John 15, Christ is teaching his disciples toward the end of, right before the crucifixion. And he says, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they hated me, they'll hate you." That's what you can expect. Expect hatred, persecution, and martyrdom. That's who we follow. You know, I preached a message like this about 30 years ago. And I didn't really think stuff like that could happen. It's going to happen if things keep going the way they're going. And don't be surprised. This is your master. This is what following him means. If you understand that Christ walked away from being God to be a man, then you understand this, There is nothing you could do on earth. There is no life more base, more filthy, more abused, more neglected, or difficult than even gets on the same scale as the incarnation. Do you understand that? That as far as you could go down in human life is nothing like God becoming a man. Some people like to say, well, the incarnation is like us becoming an ant so we could warn ants about a flood. But my friends, ants are part of creation. Creator became the created. No job is beneath you. No act of service is so low that you are too high for it. I met a woman one time. Never forget her. She was fabulous. Just met her one time. Hey, what you doing? What you do? Oh, I do this. And I asked her, what do you do? And she says, I wipe butts. But she used a different word, which I think you know. I go, well, how? What does that mean? She said, well, I work in an old folks home and I clean old people's bottoms. That's what I do. That's my job. And she was comfortable with that. I almost guarantee you that gal is a Christian. Nobody else would do that. And talk about it. And feel like it was okay to be that way. Guys, it's so easy for pride to set in. Pride is such an insidious sin. I remember a time when I was pastoring my first church and things are going pretty well. Had good crowds. A lot of good stuff happening. You know, people liked me. Everybody, I had a good reputation, you know. Part of what we did, we were in a college town. Did a lot of weddings in the summer. It's like a conveyor belt of weddings. And there came a time when I did a lot of weddings with pretty good friends. And I got used to sitting at the head table, which most pastors do and don't. But I got used to being at the head table. It's where I belong. So I did a wedding and went to the reception, walked up to the head table, looking for my name. Oh, I got to be here somewhere. This is where I belong. And I wasn't there. So I started looking, I was in the back. And I started to laugh. What does that remind you of? Anybody?
Jesus.
Exactly. When you show up at a wedding, don't go to the best table. Or someone will say, get out of here. Sit in the back. And if you're called up front, that's good. But be comfortable in the back. Do you ever hear people say, I want to do something great for God? Be real careful with that one. I suggest a small change. Let's do something for a great God. How about that? Do you see the difference? Jesus owned no property, no houses, wrote no books. His disciples were ordinary men. You know a few influential people, Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He spoke to Nicodemus. But he was just a normal guy. And he did things for our great God. He died for our son. God doesn't need you to do great things for him. He makes galaxies. He can make preachers out of stones. He needs you to follow his son. That's what he wants you to do. And he doesn't even need you to do that. He bids you, woos you, to the greatest joy you could have. Now, let's continue on in Philippians. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One of my favorite verses is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross." For the joy. He was saving. People who are going to go to hell forever, we're going to go to heaven. That was cool, to say the least. And so he endured the cross. God sets joy before you. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to see God? Yeah, this world's got nothing, people. It's got nothing that's going to last. You're going to die and be forgotten just like that. And God bids us to spend eternity with him. Do you know we're made to seek approval? Do you know that? God made us that way. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is very clear about this. If you want the world's reward, you can have it. Sure. Or you can seek God's approval. One of the most astonishing things is we can live a life where Christ in the end says, "Well done." Isn't that astonishing? If you think about it, that he could look at you and say, "Good job. Nice work. That's what I want. That's what I want." And it's all good. Throw away your pride. It's just going to fail you, deceive you, make you unpleasant. Live boldly in humility. You know, when nothing is beneath you, it's okay to do everything. Isn't that free? And in those moments, you know who's watching? Christ. And he's in heaven going, "Yeah. That's freedom, That's life. Well done. Lord Jesus, thank you for this glimpse into your incarnation. Use your spirit, send your spirit to help us get this, please. And thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for becoming a man. Thank you for these unbelievable gifts, for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.